This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Marhaba, bitches. Hi, hello, welcome. I'm so fucking excited because you're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast available to you on the internet. Wow! It is such a treat. And today I'm particularly gagged because we have the stunning, the gorgeous, the rudely, I'm going to say gaggy, jaw-dropping, talented. It goes on and on, but let's just talk right now. We have Haz Slayman. Haz, I mean, who we know from like a million. Her IMDb is loaded, but you are most recently in The Eternals, making Marvel history, being queer and actually having a man kiss on screen. Can we talk about it briefly?
Well, I was almost feeling like I'm RuPaul right now. Like, are you gonna throw like some aging shade, like reading me for my age? How old I am? I was like, I'm waiting. When it's
on it, no. Good. The only thing aged about you is the beef on your Instagram main feed, because all I'm seeing is beef. I am loving the thirst traps. I'm living for them, Haz.
Well, I mean, I'm grateful that you appreciate them, but they're not thirst traps. I mean, I like to think
bitch,
of them otherwise.
Bitch, fuck off.
I mean, all I'm saying is like my essence is a specific kind of a person type. So sometimes these things come out. It's just part of who I am.
There's nothing wrong with living in your body and sharing that with people. I mean, you're gorgeous. Like, you know, you're just being your own self.
Well, I also work out hard. So damn it. Like, it's like show it off when you can. And, you know, it's also like about celebrating being healthy and taking care of yourself. You know? I know that sounds like, okay, Haz, yes, we get it.
I'm rolling my eyes, but I'm very happy for you.
Well, I mean, look, I'm 45, so I'm not
you
getting
are?
Any younger.
Bitch, yeah. I did not know. You look good.
Thank you. Although,
my hole. Like, literally, fuck my hole. No, you look so good.
Don't we all want that? Let me tell you.
I literally thought you, I'm 36, and I literally thought you were younger than me because you look so good.
I mean, thank you. That's a stretch, but I'll take it. But that's a little bit of a stretch. I appreciate it. Because
my hole, you mean?
Well. Well, you said it. I did. You make it easy.
I do. No, but I'm saying, like, I easy girl.
You definitely look younger than me, and but I definitely don't look younger than you. But thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Very nice. Very nice. Haz, I mean, well, then talk to me. I mean, you are an actor, which I'm really excited about because something really pertinent to your experience comes up in this episode. But let me just get into it and say you are, of course, Lebanese. Tell me a little bit about your journey being queer in the acting world. And like, because like now you're being so celebrated, even though, you know, the Middle Eastern countries aren't feeling Eternals. But how has it been being out? How has that journey been for you?
I came out on social media in 2017, so not long ago, not that long ago. But I was out to my family and friends way back before. But then, like publicly, globally, that happened 2017. I have to say, ever since I came out, I finally am enjoying acting, which is mm-hmm. a huge thing. It's like so profound. It's like, oh, I never really enjoyed it before. Mm-hmm. But I am facing the dilemma, which is, it's cool if you're a straight actor and you're going to portray a gay character, but mm-hmm. it's not cool if it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. It almost like it's tarnishing the character somehow. If the character is straight and then an openly queer actor wants to portray that character because they're right for that character, guess what? That's not only a no-no, it's almost like, it's almost sexist. It's almost like it's cool when a woman dresses up like a man, but when a man dresses up like a woman, it's degrading.
Yeah.
It's not different from that. And so this is what I'm up against right now, because I'm a leading male type of actor. I'm not mm-hmm. a character actor. Mm-hmm. So I tend to play or really what fits me is to portray characters that men want to be and mm-hmm. then that women want to fuck. Mm-hmm. And so me being openly gay is problematic when it comes to being cast in roles like that.
Yeah. I'm sure it's so fucking challenging. I mean, we have what in common, brownness and queerness. And I feel so often people are like too specific. I'm sorry, but you're too specific. So it's so easy to get knocked out of consideration for X, Y, and Z. Cause it's just like, you're too specific, sir. You have to go away.
Well, I mean, I would even go more specific than what you just said, too specific, which I will take it even further by saying that, do you care if your dentist is gay or not? You only care if you have the best dentist who's kind, thoughtful, uh-huh. has this gentle hand, and he's really makes sure, or she, he makes sure you don't feel the pain, and they're uh-huh. smooth, and they do a good job, right?
Yes.
That's what that matters. Similarly, a plumber. Do you care getting a straight or heterosexual or homo for a plumber? No, you care to get the best plumber.
Yeah.
So why is it different with actors?
Well, let me tell you, I mean, I'll go ahead and bring this up right now because it happens in the episode. Ella talks about being an actor and, you know, and I could imagine you have felt this because you've been doing it for a while. That pressure you feel as an actor to be versatile and like not show all of your queerness or like show the versatility you have. Like, how did you feel watching that? Did you relate to it?
You're referring to whom right now?
When Ella Bidet. Ella Bidet.
Oh, Ella Bidet. I was like, oh, yeah. Sorry. I was like, Ella Bidet. Okay, good. I'm glad that I asked you.
In this episode, she just brings that up of like, I've kind of like felt like I've brought down some of my queerness because I'm an actor and I need to be so versatile.
Well, I mean, I have to say, Ella Bidet is my favorite in the UK third season, right? This is the third season.
Yes, this is the third season.
I think Ella Bidet was a pleasant surprise in this season. She was really constantly being accused of being boring or not really just having one talent. She's like, oh yeah. And then she just like very with ease and effortlessly proved that.
I have
wrong.
Been one of her critics. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, really?
I have been one of her critics. I get it now. I think she's just raw talent. She's just raw talent.
Yeah, she's not trying to impress anyone. She's just being real. And that's, I think, maybe why I like her is because of the fact that she comes across, you know, like whatever she's doing, it's coming from an honest place and it's not coming from a place like, oh, I'm going to show you. No, it's like, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
And here you are. And I also like how you're connecting the dots with her, and because I can relate to her the most out of all of them, because she had to tap into, or maybe find a balance in terms of how he wanted to represent himself to the world as an actor. Mm-hmm. There's truth to that, absolutely. I mean, it was not different for me. Like, I was growing up in Lebanon in the 80s, so I had to like learn how to understand that I have a masculine side and a feminine side, and then it's all part of me. And then how do I choose to sort of like balance that and show what I want to show and not show what I don't want to show, just as a way to survive? It was just the need was to survive. Mm-hmm. And so from that experience, I realized, it's all a part of me. It's not like, oh, this is only a part of me and this is not. No, it's all a part of me. And what I choose to show and not show is my decision. Mm-hmm. And it's so who I am right now today is who I really am. But I could definitely tap into my feminine energy, which when I was a kid, my hand would be like bent like this. And like literally, like there's no way you can not tell. But it was my decision to decide to not show that part and show it in a different light where it's still part of who I am. And I have to say, I'm glad I did that because I did that, it's really given me the ability to portray other characters that are not queer in an authentic way. And I've proven that over and over. But the sad part is that even though I've proven that, and even though I've proven that I can do that over and over again, still, it doesn't seem to matter.
Is it? I mean, I am like, I am fascinated by your career, especially in this moment right now, because you're queer, Arab, and you are in a Marvel Disney movie. You're at the peak of what, like you are at the peak of visibility, and yet you are facing the ironically bittersweet moment of having this film being banned in Middle Eastern countries. Like the very places we call home are turning their backs on this moment in your like career. How does that feel?
Great, because that means I'm doing the right thing.
Work!
Yeah, that's, I mean, thank you, James Baldwin or Madonna, whatever. But like, as they said, right? As he said, artists are here to disturb the peace. So that means I'm disturbing the peace. Great.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, and that is, it's so funny too, because I feel like that the people we come from, no matter how you identify, are shit stirrers. You know what I mean? Like the people who grew up with us. Are you chewing on Biz Ed right now?
A what?
Are you chewing some Biz Ed right now? I was like, is she?
No, what is that? What is that?
Oh my God. We'll get
it. You talking about seeds?
Yes, seeds.
Oh, hell no. No, I'm not that Arab.
I was about to say, I was like, this is a real auntie moment.
Yeah, totally.
But no, I was,
Oh, now you got me missing that moment. Oh.
I know. Like moms, my mom and auntie like gossiping around a pile of Bizet shells. I was like, I live.
And they are so masterful at it.
I know.
Like so perfect. Like, it's like effortless.
I fucking live. And just being like, you hate your husband? I hate my husband.
I would say I hate him too. That's always the conversation I have with my women family, women friends and the family members in my family. Always like siding with the woman and against the man.
100%. Especially because there's so much... And I was lucky though, because I grew up around like a lot of the matriarchal energy of just like, she's mom's in charge. And I think that was good for me just to be like, yeah, that's like women are bosses. Get over it.
Where are you from originally?
So I have a very, oh boy, I can't dig into the whole story because I have a complicated family story, but one day we'll have it all out. But long and short of it is, I am Greek and Palestinian.
Oh,
So long, but it's a chat for another day.
So really Palestinian or?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That's the T. But you know how
long
messy.
Long live Palestine, free Palestine people.
Please free Palestine, y'all. And you know, I mean, that's all. I respect to every people and person in the Middle East. And governments start behaving. That's it, period.
Yeah, let's governments, not even go there because that is a Pandora box you don't want to
open. Oh, hell no. And I ain't talking about All-Star 6. Let's get sickening.
Yeah.
So let's
I mean, UAE, period.
Bing, bang, bong? Sing, sang, song?
I mean, talk about lack of integrity. Anyways.
Girl, messy. Yeah. Messy. And it's about as messy as the behavior in this workroom, because when we come back in, segue, when we come back in, we have this double win moment, right? Where they're like, we both won the lip sync. Remember when we had Kitty go up against
Ella?
Ella.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love that lip sync. I kind of thought Kitty won it, but I think they both, I went back and watched it and I was like, they both did such a great job bringing their strength to it. So I was okay with the double win.
I mean, it was shocking when she was like, really them? But we thought the other two were going to lip sync and then right. One of them is going to be a girl at home. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that that meant all four of them will get a chance at it.
It's funny that this episode, no, I think it's great, especially because this episode we basically got last week's lip sync. You know what I mean?
Right, it was right, exactly.
The same top two and the same bottom two.
Right. But then like finally now they gave a chance. They gave another week for the bottom two a chance to maybe, okay, rev it up because this is going to be your last chance now to stay in the competition.
It was funny that it was a comedy challenge back to back. You know, I mean, acting and then roast is like, this is really comedy heavy, and quite frankly, you know, who both sickening, but Vanity and Crystal are both, you know, they rely on their talent and performance and look. And
well, Vanity, her orange dresses, but yeah.
Yes, I meant slash. No, one is using look, one is using performance.
I love you, Vanity. I don't know if she's listening to this. I love you, girl.
I mean, this top four is fucking stunning. And I mean, they're really exciting. We'll get to it, but I'll already say, I wanted it to be a top four. I was like, come on.
Same. I'm like, well, girl, RuPaul, you can save those two. Then why not have all those four be a top four?
Yeah. It was
She's
fun.
Done it before. She's done it before.
She loves to do it. And I was like, this, okay, we'll get there. We'll go chronologically. Here we go. Lots of confidence from Ella. She's kind of stunting in the workroom. She's like, I'm ahead of the game. How about that?
Well, she has three badges. Let's not forget.
She has three badges.
She was not shutting up about the two. Imagine now with the three.
I mean, I was like, on the one hand, I'm like, could you behave better? But on the other hand, I'm like, no, it's Drag Race. You should be behaving. You should be bowdy.
They were constantly criticizing her. And so I'm like, you know what? Yeah, say it. Tell them. Shut them up.
Yeah. Yeah, I want more from Crystal, who's apparently getting over a cold or something. Yeah, like she's feeling under the weather.
I keep wanting to say Crystal Method.
I know.
Crystal Versace.
I will say, if I was on the show, I would never pick a name that's ever been on the show.
Oh, ever. You would change your drag name.
I'm
then.
Just saying, I would never even. I wouldn't.
Well, But what if it was originally a unique name and then it became not unique because someone else's name
change it
more famous? Oh, okay.
Change
but
it.
But then if you're already famous for it.
I mean, but if you're going to be on the show, that's when the stage really pops.
I guess
you
say like the new name, AKA the old one.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, you said your drag name might be Almaza.
Yeah, which means a diamond.
Ooh, gorgeous. And I was
a
my
female
drag,
diamond, not just any diamond.
Not just any diamond, girl. I have to say, and now I was joking with you before, but I was like, mine could be Sharmuta, which I would just be like, that would be cute, which means whore, slut.
Yes. Well, honestly, if you're going to go there, then you might as well call yourself a Sharmuta before somebody else calls you that.
There you go, right?
So you take your power into your own hands.
Exactly. I mean, I love. So they're talking shit, super classic top four behavior. Rue enters the workroom, right? And she's like, guess what, y'all? You're going to do a roast for everybody. Kathy Burke, you know, who I'm not super familiar with, but, you know, she's a British icon, apparently.
Right. Comedic genius, supposedly. Yeah.
I love her. I mean, just not even knowing her.
I think she was on AppFab or something.
Yes, because that comes up in the roast where they're like,
yeah,
you're from AppFab, but I like the other lady more.
yeah.
I mean, and the whole cast.
Everyone on AppFab is amazing. So let's just say that.
Iconic comedy.
Absolutely,
I do love this gag. The roast is with your past. The castmates. We get to see all the castmates come back. They're a part of the roast. I think this is such a gift to joke writing. Like, because it's just like, I get to roast these fucking whores who went home. Great.
And then let's not forget, they did a reading challenge too earlier in the series. So it's like not something foreign. It's something that is easier for them to roast, like, let's say, their previous contestants that were kicked off. Because there's a lot of material. Like you said, it is a gift. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. How would you do in a roast? Can you be mean? Can you write a mean joke? Because I personally can.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And that's actually, means I can tell that you would be good, which is a compliment.
Thank you.
For me, I think I would struggle, but then once I get over it, then I'll have a ball with it.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, really, it's about really connect. Like, it's really, in a way, loving. If you think of it that way, it's not really being mean, because then you can come across as really mean, mm-hmm. and you don't want that. There's something about it that it has to be intelligent and clever.
Yes.
That you can't help but laugh. I think that's
the key. Yeah. And there has to be a playfulness to it. And I bet there's something similar in acting, like where you're just like, there's a difference between just doing what's on the paper and like having that sense of play or like enjoying the moment you're in. And you can just tell, like,
yeah. I mean, I think like what's good about these challenges, even though sometimes I'm like, really, girl, what are you doing, RuPaul? Uh-huh. Like, you can't, it's not fair to expect these contestants to excel in an acting challenge. And me understanding what acting is and how much time it took me taking classes and getting better at it. It's an interesting environment to be put in to do these challenges, I find. But then again, I think what is really common in terms of all of the challenges that RuPaul Drag Race has is, in all of them, you really have to have a strong sense of self. You have to know who you are. You have to be so comfortable in your own skin that nothing matters other than being present in the moment and making the most of it. Like, and then whatever that, however you handle that will show if you are worthy of the crown or not. Because
it's
then
a huge ask.
It indicates that you're really comfortable in your own skin. You're very confident and you're present and you're emotionally intelligent and you're able to see things for what they are, or even like see them in a light that could be even more interesting and funny, you know, making us like maybe even see other people in a different light, which makes us even fall in love with them more. I think that's how powerful these things can be.
It really is. And you're right. Like, it, on the one hand, it is a gigantic ask. Like, and especially these people are asked to turn in interesting, funny, nuanced performances within a day and sometimes on the same day. Very hard. Even for comedy, very hard.
Yeah.
But so on that, everyone who tries this, fucking kudos. Like, it takes so much nuts, literal or figurative, to put yourself in this space and just say, I'm gonna fucking try it, whether this is your strength or not. But like, to your point, that's what they want. If you have that adaptability and that sort of nerve to just like, fuck it, here we go, three sheets to the wind, that is a pretty huge star quality that seems to be what they want.
Well, I mean, I like, not unlike a few of the guest judges that are invited. I forgot which one. Was it like in the Spanish one, or because now there's Canada? Oh, it was Canada. They had the new season of Canada that I've been watching, of course.
Watching as much Drag Race as all of us. Like, well, I mean,
I've been a fan of RuPaul since I was in Lebanon, was in the 80s. In the 80s in Lebanon. And I was like, work. Supermodel.
Turn to the left.
Shante. That was my fucking jam, man. In Lebanon.
It's a fucking bop.
And then I'm like, who is this woman? I'm like, that is a woman. I did not know she's a man. I thought it was the most gorgeous, magnificent woman I've ever seen in my life. It's like, she's so tall. She's so magnificent.
I don't think I got it as a kid either.
No, yeah, I moved to America and then I realized, that's a man?
Yeah.
So that was like a shocker. It was like, Santa Claus is not real? after that, I obviously, she's always been someone I idolize, and she is an icon in her own right.
She's a gag.
Yeah, and what she did with RuPaul Drag Race is really a phenomenon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, one sec. Silence, Haas. I feel like taking a break.
There you go. Nice. Nicely done. Silence. I have made my decision.
The This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, I bet you're a little intimidated of therapy. Be honest, I think we all are. It's kind of scary until you get into it and you realize, oh, holy shit, this is the land of Oz and I could be in the Emerald City all goddamn day long. That's what BetterHelp has done for me. It's put me in touch with a licensed professional therapist who is able to communicate with me in ways that people in my life can't. Don't just talk to your Judys, okay? Because your Judys can't be as direct as a licensed professional therapist can. And these therapists can talk to you in any way you like. You can chat, you can do video, you can do phone calls. It really helps me to have that malleability, and I know it'll help you too. So why not do that while saving money? Money that traditional therapy can't guarantee. That's right. BetterHelp gives it to you for cheaper, entirely online, conveniently, flexibly, suited to your schedule, mama. So go fill out the brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed professional therapist. Want to switch? Guess what? There's no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. Ooh, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher.
Bring back my
break?
No, I was trying to, like, sometimes she comes up with different ways to bring back girls. Squirrels, I don't know, something, you know, she always comes up with something different.
We always, and that's how we do it. We get really stupid on this podcast and we say, bring back my break afterwards. That's like, That's the thing. That is it. So anyway, we're back in running order drama. Love this for us, right? We get the classic, we're going to do a roast. Ella, you get to decide who goes when. And Ella, of course, you know, with every right, she does her thing where she's like, we're going to do a bad, good, bad, good. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
I don't think that would have made a difference, though. Because I think Ella and Skitty Scott Claus both killed it.
That they were going to do good.
But Ella really, though, took it to a whole nother level. Like, yeah. Even specifically saying how she was looking at the audience, at the panel, engaging with them. She's not looking all the time like Kitty Scott Claus.
That was the moment.
She does it really very effortlessly and naturally, like very calm. But everything is very specific and simple, straight to the point, which I like, you know?
Because in the edit, you know, which they're geniuses at this, they worry us because they show her, you know, delivering a dad joke. And I'm like, oh, at first I was like, oh, no, 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 that wasn't funny.
I actually thought it was funny.
Because!
I thought it was so stupid that it was like, you can't help but laugh.
I, for whatever reason, I took the bait and I was like, oh no, oh no, Ella.
It was like, it was a dad joke.
It was a dad joke.
And that's why I was actually like, making fun of dad jokes though.
Right. We call like non-comedy. When it's purposefully so goofy, it's funny again.
But I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to do that. And it worked because he did that. He was like, oh shit. Which means you're like, oh, I'm nervous now for him. Or it could be like, oh, okay, I'm curious now even more. And for me, it was more like that than nervous.
I was concerned, but I was, of course, you know, hushed right up. Because, you know, let's talk. Let's get into this roast. I mean, we don't have to say much more before the roast. There's a little bit of gay youth trauma. You know, the classic gay youth trauma talk of being straight in acting, which we covered. And Vanity and her Jamaican fam being supportive, which God bless. Can I ask, so we both have brown families. Your family, did they immediately come around or were they like, give me some time, I'll come around to this?
No, they didn't immediately come around. I mean, my mom, when she first found out, she was like sobbing and like crying. And so I was like—
My mom too. My mom was a little dramatic about it.
Well, my mom is— the queen of drama and being dramatic.
Is our mom the same person?
Well, it sounds like they're both Arab women moms. They have that in common.
they're rich.
That the Arab women like to be dramatic or tend to be dramatic. I don't know which it is, but it's cultural, I think, as well. I mean, I'm dramatic myself, but also like I'm passionate. I think Arabs are very passionate, and maybe that's where they become dramatic because they're so passionate. True. And we love things. If we love something, we love it. If we don't, we really hate it. It's like we have strong feelings about things.
But I've seen my mom tear down a fence with her hands because she didn't like the finish of the wood.
I believe you.
You know what I mean?
Look, I mean, so we do have similar moms. I mean, look.
And you just have to hit her with a yee.
Well,
yeah.
Do you speak Arabic?
No. I only know a few fun phrases. I just know the cuss words. That's it. And to say, Ana bidi masadi, min fadlik. Ana bidi masadi.
Oh, yeah. Masadi with an R at the end. Ra.
Yes.
Masadi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm rusty as hell.
No, but that's good. That's pretty good. I mean, you're not. Not unlike my ex-wife, who was moved here when she was 2 years old, and she grew up here in Michigan. So her Arabic is like terrible, but she's my soulmate, and she's always going to be my soulmate.
I love that. I didn't know you were married.
Yeah, before.
I was married. That's great.
I tried to be straight. It didn't work out.
Damn, Haas. Yeah.
I thought with my soulmate, I could do it, but even my soulmate couldn't save the day. She's like,
damn it.
Yeah, it was really a genuine attempt on my end, but I was like 21, 22, so I was really young. I learned the hard way that I was born that way. There ain't nothing I could do about it.
And
the only thing I could do about it.
I mean, and you specifically get a shout out in Born This Way.
Yes.
Because you're Lebanese, the other word I won't say that comes after that.
Lesbian.
But, no, she says, but I love that. And were you able to share this news with her in 2017? And you were just like, hey, girl, sorry. I love you, but this is why.
Well, I was lucky because actually, can I plug my iPad to the electricity? Because it's going to be
thing.
Let me do that.
Do your thing. No rush.
So with my mom, it took my aunt, my mom's, my favorite aunt, my mom's favorite sister, if there's such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically told me, surprised me one day and said, okay, so I told your mom, it's been 8 months that your mom knows that you're gay.
And oh my God.
And she's like, I hope you're not mad at me that I told her behind your back.
No.
Yeah. And she said, because I really wanted to prepare her, to educate her, because my aunt was doing a lot of readings about homosexuality and being queer. She was literally educating herself.
Uh-huh.
Because she thought her son, she has a daughter and a son, she thought her son, my cousin, might be queer or something.
Uh-huh.
So she was doing research and in the process of reading books about it. And then she confronted me when I was in Lebanon one time, and she pulled it out of me. And that's what she went and told my mom behind my back to prepare my mom. So 8 months, imagine 8 months, my mom knew. I didn't know that she knew.
Whoa.
She was like, well, now your mom knows that you know. So she's expecting you to call her. So I called, I was like, hey, mom. It's like, hi.
God.
And then I was waiting for her to bring it up. She did not. So I was like, okay, bye. Because I was embarrassed. And then my aunt was like, what happened? I'm like, well, she didn't bring it up. She's like, call her again. So I call her back. Oh, and then she's like, look, God. I know that you're born that way. And I just want you to know that I have your back in this world. You have my back. We have each other. We're there for each other. And that's all that matters. So it's like really sweet.
That's cute. My mom, she came around. She was a little dramatic at first, making it about her. She came around.
Yeah. I mean, my mom went as far as asking me if I was single or if I'm in a relationship. And I told her I'm single at that time. I was single. And she's like, really? So how do you release? I'm like, mom.
Mom.
Yeah.
Why are there no boundaries for brown people? There's no, like, we should, they're just like, release? Mom, go home. Go home.
Mom, I was like, mom, sashay away. You're out of everyone else. Is the last. She even asked me, she's like, so who are you more? Are you the woman in a relationship or the man?
Oh, not this that shit.
That was her way of asking if I was the top or bottom.
My mom has said that shit to me too, where I'm just like, mom, I do not want, we don't need to talk about each other's sex lives. Yeah. We can just love each other and absolutely never talk about this.
Although I do ask my mom when my dad was alive, may he rest in peace. Like, are you having sex with dad? Is it good? Like, I asked her actually.
Why?
Because I love her. She's not my mother only. She's also human. So I look at her that way.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like moving that she does reciprocate that with me, even though with me, I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm good. Like, you don't need to know the details of all of that.
That is love. That is real ass love.
Yeah. And then my dad, like, found out. He had a hard time with it. Fast forward 2 months before he died. He calls me telling me that he loves me for who I am and he would fight for me against any family member. So he gave me that before his passing. Honestly, now that it's out globally, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks of me as being gay. I don't let them come up to me. Let them come up to me and talk.
Isn't that fucking liberating?
It's beyond liberating. It's
and
like,
I'm sure you get so many messages of love, of just like, thank you for being you.
I'm getting so much love for my performance in the Marvel film. So much. And I'm really grateful for it. And I fucking made sure I like gave it my all and milked every moment in that movie. It was not a big part. So it was not easy to do what I had to do. And I still did it. And I'm happy that, I mean, look, yeah, I know that they cut out some of those scenes, not all of them, but some of the kissing scene and whatnot, but they'll still be able to see that when it starts streamed.
Yeah.
So it's not a lost cause. It's actually exciting because
if anything, it just makes more people want to see it. Like, totally, if anything.
Totally. And also, like, I think it's I don't know. It's like really about time for that to happen in Marvel, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's and also because it's also like, yeah, we just need unique storylines and it's not a big deal. And just let people be fucking people. We've done it. We did it. Let it be old hat. Like, for the love of God, let us be boring, too. Let us be boring.
Exactly. Love does not know gender, sexual orientation or sex or identity. It doesn't know any of that.
Especially in movies where aliens are kissing each other. You know what I mean? Fucking aliens, baby.
Exactly.
We're past it. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Let's get back into this roast because, let's see. Here we go. Crystal. Okay, so let's talk about this. Crystal, like, was... She could have done better. But she didn't do terrible. And I like that they applaud her on her, like, she was having fun, but it was so funny that she got roasted back in the middle of her performance.
Well, yeah, that was kind of easy.
I mean, yeah, she set them up.
But there's something endearing about her that I found her to be a little bit endearing in that whole process. Like,
yeah,
you know, specifically, like, she's a virgin.
Yeah.
What? I mean,
I know.
And she's like sex on legs and she's a virgin.
And I liked that.
That says a lot, though. If you really pay attention to that detail, it really shows you that she's really struggling as a human being.
She's struggling. And she's young. She's 19.
She's also really talented. You know? She's very talented. She's fierce.
She has an amazing future no matter what, because she's already has such a big part of herself figured out. Like, she knows herself as a performer. She's stunning, all of that shit. There's just, like, with the comedy stuff, you know, there's some things I felt like I wish they would allow comedy coaches there to be like, more of this, less of this. Because, like, the virgin thing is interesting if she leans into it in a different way.
Right, but she didn't know how. And this
she didn't know
is,
how.
I think what made her endearing to me is the fact that she didn't know how. It says a lot about who she is, like how maybe parts of herself were never nurtured. Never allowed to be nurtured to grow into becoming what they were supposed to become. And that is a very common thing amongst a lot of queer people growing up as kids. They're not nurtured fully to their fullest potential. And so she ends up focusing on one aspect of who she is and what she thinks will make her feel valued the most. And maybe that became the physical part of herself. And so I get that. And it also is another indication that there is almost like a paralysis in her growth when she says that she's still a virgin.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And I liked her jokes about, you know, making fun of Michelle, you know, explaining what a virgin is to her. I think that's funny.
She could have definitely done better, but
it was just like pacing, just like pace it up.
The beginning was great, actually. I thought then she started to lose her way.
Yeah.
But the beginning was a great start.
Not at all the worst roast in terms of RuPaul's Drag Race history. We've seen true train wrecks from seasons past.
Worse. I mean, personally, I thought it was going to be much worse. So I was really happy for her.
It was fun. She's funny.
She's funny, but you could tell she's trying. Like, even if it wasn't really one of the best roasts, it was not a successful one fully, but like you said, she didn't fail miserably. And I think the fact that she tried, you can see that. You can see how she tried. And I appreciate her thought process and the fact that she was able to bring something to show us a different side of her. Maybe unlike Vanity Milan, where I felt it was, again, going back to that dirty rice, which is fine. I get it. It's part of
the... We've done it, though.
But
come on.
You've done it on Snatch Game, right?
We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, her roast was more of a photo album, like commemorating her time on the show. It was more like, remember this moment? Okay, let me flip the page. And I remember this challenge. Like, there wasn't enough jokes there. And some weird joke delivery, which, you know, once again, it's a thing of like... It's not everyone knows how to do this, which is the most normal thing. Because I don't know how to I don't know how to perform like her. Jesus Christ, she's an incredible performer. And that's her superpower.
You mean like when she's lip syncing?
Her lip syncs are, she is in the, for me, top 6 best lip syncers in the show's history.
To be honest, like, that's why I'm a little bit surprised that she kind of underperformed next to Crystal Versace.
I thought the edit was suspicious.
I thought that she did that on purpose. That
oh, really?
She wanted Crystal Versace to go third, and she was ready. It's okay, I'll let her go, because I don't know if it's because of what Crystal Versace's story behind what she's going through, her struggle. I don't know if that's partly why. I almost felt that, because if you want to compare her...
She has some survivor's guilt.
Yeah, like it's almost like if you compare her lip sync to the other lip syncs that she had, it looked a little bit less.
It was a little pulled back.
Yeah, it was a little bit less fight mode, like how she was prior. Yeah.
Do you feel like, and I literally am brainstorming here, I was like, was it like she's like, they've seen these certain tricks of mine, so I don't want to repeat them? Or, you know what I mean? Was she like, I don't want to do this thing again because I've done it?
I think she was really into the music in the right way in the beginning of that lip sync. That I was like, ooh, she's going to get this the fourth time, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But then I could see how she would like not go there anymore. Like, and then Crystal Versace, she was going there. And I was like, oh, this is actually my go for Crystal now. Like, and this is where I flipped. I was like, oh, this is actually...
Yeah. That's why I wanted the editing to be more like, y'all, show me the fucking stage. Stop cutting away. Because I always hate that.
It's like,
it feels like they're like,
that's not
persuading
me. Let me make a decision. Yeah, exactly.
Let me make a decision.
Yeah.
It's so transparent, the editing. I'm like, just let me look at the yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food. But you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3... I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Performance, because they both did great, and there's little moments where I'm like, I know Vanity did something good there. Can I please see it, cameraman, too, please?
Yeah, I mean, look, the music really possesses Vanity in the best way, I find.
Yeah.
So it's always been an attractive thing for me to watch Vanity, like how whenever the music hits her, it becomes a part of her blood somehow.
Yeah.
But this is why I feel like, I wonder if she was like pulling back, you know, to let Crystal take this.
That's interesting. And isn't that very British too? I mean, from what I've learned, you know, there's sort of a, you know, we learned this a lot in season 2 and season 1, you know, it's like, it's quite British to, you know, not be so gaudy, like bout it competition wise. It's seen as a little bit gauche to be like, get out of my fucking way, it's me. And it's, you know, it's seen a little bit, maybe a little bit more appropriate to be like, it's my time, I'm reading the room, and goodbye.
I mean, it's funny you say that, because I think there is a dilemma with that. Meaning,
yeah,
on one end, yes, but on another end, they're realizing that, like, hell of a day, like, no, bitch, I got 3 badges now, what?
You know, so, yeah, so, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're gonna... Hey, silence again, Haas. We have to take a break.
Thank you to Angie for sponsoring this HeadGum podcast. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well.
Indeed. So if you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need.
Yeah, doing stuff yourself seems fun, but then you actually get to, you know, solving a problem and you realize that you can create 10 more problems, and then you probably should have just paid a professional to deal with it right off the bat.
You can easily injure and or maim yourself as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. You just get the app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. It's very convenient.
It sure is, folks, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
So download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Thank you, Angie.
Angie.com.
Thank you.
My break. Okay, we're going to finish up our chat of the roasts and this runway, etc. real quick. Let's see, Haas. So what else do we want to say about Ella's roast or Kitty's roast or any of this?
Well, we didn't really... Well, we talked a little bit about Ella and Kitty. I mean, I think Ella and Kitty both were fucking badass, but Ella...
They were great.
For specifically Ella... I mean, I love Kitty Scott Claus. I think Kitty Scott Claus... Her smile is so infectious. You can tell she's just happy to be there, and you can tell she loves to do what she's doing, and that's a beautiful
I loved thing. Kitty's jokes. I'm a little biased with Kitty, and I don't know why. I just really like her, but I'm like calling myself out on the bias because I liked Kitty's jokes a little bit more, but I think Ella's performance was just better. Like,
yeah, and she was present. Ella
yes,
was so
present.
This is what I'm talking about. If you show the world that you're present and unfazed by any of this, that is star quality.
Right. Right. And I would love to see, like, if there was anything cut from... I feel like that we got some... There's had to be some stuff cut because I felt like there were missed jokes with the queens there. You know what I mean? Like, I was shocked that no one made a joke about Chorisa being like, if only your talent was half as big as your cock. Like,
well, I mean, yeah. Who made the joke about, like, you don't have to. Like,
oh, yeah, that was Kitty.
Doesn't mean that you have to smell,
you have to
like,
smell
one.
Like one. Great.
Yeah, that
great.
Was Kitty. Yeah,
okay. I was hoping someone, like, for Charity Case, and maybe they didn't, it was just cut, but like, hey, Charity Case. If only your looks were as horrifying as your acting skills. Like,
that's a good one.
Something. I was like, but maybe this is just stuff that was cut from the editing room floor. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. God knows what we miss out of all of these fucking edits.
I know.
Over the years. Yeah.
This was a funny thing, though, where just like the bottom two in the room are getting roasted. People are talking back on stage. I loved the sense of humor of the girls. And like the girls did a good job roasting back. I was shocked. I was like, these are well-timed clapbacks. Y'all work.
I mean, I think that's also what happens when you get more comfortable in those situations, then that starts happening. And, but like, look how we're both like, oh yeah, this is an exciting part of it. Well, I guess what is really exciting is to see others be comfortable in their own skin and so comfortable to the point that they express themselves freely. That is a very, very inspiring thing to watch always, no matter who it is.
And okay, I think you were actually...
Talk to me. This is what I was trying to get at. So we're talking about Canada Drag Race season
and then
two.
Italia?
No,
go
but
ahead.
Canada specifically, there's a guest judge that cried. When one
Fifi Dobson.
Yeah. She started was crying because she was like, you're all so talented. I wish all of you could win. And I agree with her because everyone is different and unique. And so I was like, well, what the fuck is this whole competition about? So I was like, I think I got it. I think it's about showing all the queer people around the world, be true to who you are and be unapologetically yourself. And do not make yourself small. for anyone or anything or any reason.
You better take me to fucking church, bitch. Yeah. You better.
And so whoever wins is the epitome of that. It's an example and a symbol for all queer people to be like, yes, be yourself, be true to yourself, be unapologetically you, and let your fucking light shine. That's
take space. I have a hard time taking space. And this is, I'm working on this, but I have a hard time taking space because frankly, I'm used to just, like we talked about before, being specific. I'm used to just being too specific to be understood. So I make myself invisible. I'm just used to that. And I'm really trying to overcome that. And it can be very hard, especially when we're in spaces that are, let's be real, just straight white dominated. Like, how did you break yourself out of that?
Well, I'm still trying to break out of that in the film industry, I have to say. Mm-hmm. But in general, like, I think ever since I came out is when it mm-hmm. started happening, where I was like, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. You know, obviously I'm still dealing with getting less opportunities. That sucks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm also trying not to let that be a defining factor by trying to produce my own projects and mm-hmm. working with certain people to produce content that I can expand the possibilities of where I can play as an actor, the characters that I get to portray. But aside from my career, I think just me in general, ever since my coming out, I now can express myself however I want to. Mm-hmm. I can talk about whatever I want to talk about, however I want to talk about that thing. That really is to me one of the best things I could have ever done to myself coming out. And just like taking that power back, my own power, and then regaining mm-hmm. my own power and not being apologetic about it. It's one of the reasons why I shared that I was a bottom, because I, you know, was making a point out of that. Like, just because I'm a bottom, it doesn't mean I can't defend myself if somebody's trying to come at me to kill me just because
fuck I'm yes.
here. You know, yeah. So you
isn't
know.
Bottoming fun?
I mean, yeah.
It's so fun.
It is fun, but unless you're two bottoms, then that could be interesting.
That's true. I fucking love that. You're so right. And it's like, we're still not past that because we in the queer community have taken on the toxic masculinity that surrounds us. And we have taken on the misogyny of bottom means more like a woman.
Yes.
More like a woman means less power. Like, we yes. have taken that on. And sexist. It's fucking sexist. Stupid.
Well, it's sexism, really.
Yes.
And it's not unlike, oh, it's cool for a straight actor to play gay or queer, but mm-hmm. not the other way around. Well, really? I'm sorry. That's some bullshit is all I say.
Yes. It's fucking stupid. It's fucking, and you know what? And honestly, it's all about connecting and making these stories happen. In fact, literally, you know, I'm a writer and I'm literally like, have a couple of things where I'm like, I'm about to pitch something to this bitch because we can work together. In fact, elevator pitch, something I'm working on right now called Chic Shake Click about an Ethiopian prince, an Indian prince, and a sheikh from Dubai.
Oh, sure.
Who are all closeted, right?
Oh.
This is based on the true story of that gay Indian prince.
Oh, I'm like, this is getting better and better.
And it's the story of their lives as closeted brown and black royalty.
Wow.
And it's Sex and the City meets Coming to America.
Holy, is it a TV series or a movie?
I want it to be a TV show. Could be either. There you go. And there you go. But yeah.
I'm sold. I want to see that show.
We'll chat. I mean, I literally will chat.
It would be nice that I get to play a regal prince who happens to be queer.
Do you know what I mean? And another thing to be like, instead of us always having to be like, so it's a gay film, so who's sick and dying of the HIVs? It's like, no, we can just have queer stories about queer people.
Somebody
now.
Said that to me recently on my Instagram.
Bitch.
They're like, weren't they afraid that they're going to catch HIV? I'm like, I mean, first of all, that's not funny. And how fucking
not
stupid.
At all. Embarrassing that anyone would say that to you.
I'm like, do you know that it was not only gay people that were dying from HIV?
Girl, it's not a gay disease.
No, it's not. But that's what they wanted to shop it around as, though, right?
So fucking basic. That's fucking basic. And oh, and it's over. And it's over. But yeah, that's why literally I'm so gagged for you. You're part of a gigantic moment right now, and it's only gonna grow from here.
Like, well, let's make that TV show. What is it?
Chic Shake Click. Yeah.
What does click at the end mean?
Like click, like group, like oh, click.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Click.
Okay.
We'll talk. We'll talk. That's cool. It could be. The name could change.
No, I like it. It's catchy. It makes you curious. You're like, what is happening with this? Cool. It's also very catchy, which is cool. And it is connected to the story because it's basically Sheikh is the Sheikh, and then the Sheikh is the Indian prince and the.
I took it to be like, you know, like we're chic, we're sheikhs, and we're the clique. That whole thing.
Oh, got it. Love it. Great. And they're
They're all real people. There's that gay prince, the gay Indian prince that's happening right now, who love him.
By the way, yeah.
Yes, I forget his name. His name is Singoli. I think it's Mahendra Singoli. I might be fucking it up. Anyway. I love that he's living his best gay life, and I'm like, this means there's more gay royalty in the midst.
What is he doing for the gay people in India? Is he doing anything for gay people in India?
No, I don't think so.
That's a shame. Shame. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
The prince, get up your ass and
bitch.
Yeah.
Look how fucking prince you look. So. Let's chirp and burp these runways before we talk about that lip sync. We kind of talked about lip sync already, but we have this Oh My Goddess lip sync. I'm sorry, this Oh My Goddess runway. Amazing looks. I can screen share if you would like to look at them.
Sure.
Here we go. Let me pull it up.
You gotta love Zoom.
Here we go. Zoom, baby. So it's Oh My Goddess. As you know, they're giving us some sickening, gaggy, royal looks. As a whole, what did you think of this runway theme?
Love it. I mean, how could you not? As a goddess? Hell yeah.
It's a good look.
We all have an inner goddess within us. Let's just be real.
I agree. And let's hypothetically, if you went in as Almaza, would you... What would you rock? I mean, are you going to give me like a Natasha Atlas moment? Are you going to give me a Natasha Atlas moment? Are you going to give me a Haifa moment? Or are you just going to go a whole nother direction?
I would go like a really either, I would say maybe like a goddess, belly dancer goddess sort of theme.
Yes. Oh, yes. I live for this. Yeah, I love that look for you.
Okay, this one? Oh, the you mean the belly dancing.
Your belly dancer moment.
Yeah, this is cool. I love the headpiece. The headpiece is really cool.
Yes, we're looking at Crystal Versace's brown and gold goddess with the head, the halo.
Yeah, it's almost like Thailand-ish, right?
Yeah,
like Thai influence or something.
It does look like there's Thai influence with the decorating in the headpiece.
Cool. It's very beautiful and elegant and
I love
goddess.
It.
Yeah. Very
the
goddess.
Brown velvet, the mermaid sequin is cool because they're like just little gray moments in there. And like something for me with the silver, gold, and brown feels like such an unpredictable thing.
Yeah.
And it's like it could go bad. But
and then like a velvet.
It was fabric, stunning.
The velvet brown against the gold, like metallic gold. It's nice, different texture. Like it gives it that regalness, makes it regal.
Because on paper, if someone said to me, oh, I'm wearing a brown, gold, and silver look, I would say, girl,
yeah,
you
you'd be like, that's boring. But actually, it doesn't look boring. And her makeup looks great with it as well.
The draping from the headpiece adds a whole nother layer. It's...
yeah.
She doesn't fuck up on the runway.
Yeah, ever. And the hair, the color of the wig is great with the whole look. It's like
it's
a
great.
White. Yeah.
It's a chirp for me. And chirp means good, burp means bad, just to update you.
Oh, chirp and burp. Oh, got it. Okay. That's cute.
Well, the only drag podcast, so it's our...
You gotta like find something different that stands out from boot, toot, or boot, right?
Huh? I don't know her. I'm sorry, I don't know her. I don't know what you're talking about, but... You're crazy.
That's actually one of my favorite shows to watch is Fashion Photo Review.
I'll have to check it out. I haven't heard of it. I'm kidding.
Listen, I see. Oops. Well, they never invited me, so fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
Elle of a Day comes out in this constellation moment bodysuit. What do we think?
I really was pleasantly surprised by it. Like, I was surprised because it was like, not something that any of us expected, the constellation thing. And I actually like it because, you know, the universe, the stars, galactic, you know, goddess, that does in a way make sense. I have to say, I did like the hair, even though the judges hated it. But I thought she looked gorgeous, really, honestly. She looks really beautiful.
She's really stunning. And I mean, I think she keeps looking better and better on the runway, which is great news. I do think, I did agree that, like, the hair was not bad, but I agreed with the judges being like, something is disconnected like a headpiece here.
Or something maybe.
Yeah, headpiece or just something was disconnected for me. It's a chirp for me. Yeah, I also the tattering.
It's definitely a chirp for me as well.
Like the tattery fringe. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, and the colors are really beautiful on her skin. Like the makeup, the eye makeup is gorgeous. Look at that makeup with the skin.
It's it looks really good. And I wanted, not to be critical, but I was like, I wanted this makeup earlier, but maybe that's just how this works on Drag Race. You get better as you do it over and over.
She's gotten better, that's for sure. She's gotten better.
It's gaggy. It's a chirp.
Definitely a chirp.
It's a chirp.
I love it. I wish you could make a chirp sound. No, I don't know.
I know, right? Oh, if I could kind of whistle. Next, we have Vanity Melant coming out in this black and gold goddess moment.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a chirp as well.
It's a chirp as well. From the titties up, it is stunning.
Yeah.
And then it's a little...
like, remind us a little bit of Beyonce, or am I confused?
It is. No, it's very pregnant Beyonce almost.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm glad. Because I was like, wait a minute. Like, I remember Beyonce with that headpiece, no? Yeah.
Yeah, she had a very similar headpiece with like the pregnancy moment. Right. And like gold chains draping around her.
Right.
I do chirp it. There's some problems waist down. Not like huge problems, but it's just like, when you compare it to everyone else's, there's some things that could be better below the waist. It's still a chirp for me.
I mean, honestly, I feel like I wish the whole thing was gold.
Yeah.
And maybe less brown in there. That would have made it probably pop more because it would have balanced it because it's so gold heavy from the headpiece to the bra.
Yeah.
But then underneath it, it's almost not balanced. Like, I wish it was more gold.
You're right.
And then less of the brown. That would have probably made it pop more and make it look balanced, maybe.
You're right. Because the tights stick out in a not good way.
That's
like,
a good point. Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I see tights, as opposed to like the above piece. Like, you said, it has so much gold.
We got a lot of legs in there. And so I think she could have gotten away with having more gold in her bust. Not the bust, lower, but like, you know, the midsection.
I literally wonder if she should have taken off one of those 8 necklaces and wrapped it around one of her legs and given like an asymmetrical gold leg moment.
I mean, look, that sounds interesting too. I don't know. Like, that's, wow. But that's like becomes a completely different thing, which I also appreciate.
Yeah. It's a chirp. And her makeup keeps getting better and better and better too.
Yeah. I mean, she looks great, but I feel like we both agree that it doesn't feel balanced.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
But it's a chirp.
And maybe it's a chirp. It's a chirp, but you know. Next, Kitty Scott Claus giving gold and pink Greek goddess moment.
Well, that's beautiful. What else can you say other than beautiful?
It's beautiful.
I thought it was really feminine. And even though it had like this sort of gladiator-esque Greek goddess sort of quality, yeah, it was flowy and feminine at the same time, which I appreciate. And yeah, she looks great.
She looks great. The hair's gorgeous. The makeup's nice. My only critique is that it's kind of what I would assume she would have worn.
Mm.
Like,
it's not surprising.
And that's not surprising. It's not surprising.
I do like the masculine/feminine thing about it for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that sort of combo. But I agree with you. It is not really, definitely when I compare it to the others, they were more surprising than hers, for sure.
Yeah, this is, we've seen her deliver something very close to this. It looks good. The hair is unique and interesting. The draping is nice, but
I do agree with Graham Norton when he said something to her. He said, you know, one thing about you, you always dress yourself where you make your body look good.
Yeah.
That I agree.
She's so, she knows her body. And she loves her body. And that makes me love her even more. Just like when she talked in the past about being like, I'm big and juicy. And I love that about myself. I'm like, yes.
Well, I mean, I think that's my favorite thing about Katie Scott Claus is that sort of positive image that you would have about yourself, no matter. And I think, no, that's a beautiful thing because it's that's how it should be.
Yes. And I mean, she just wins me over, like literally in the Untucked this week where her family comes on screen and she says, I don't know who they are. I was like, that is so fucking funny.
Yeah, that was funny. But
that is the level of British humor I expect.
You could tell how much she loves them and how much they love him.
Yes.
So you could tell that there's a lot of love in that family.
It is.
Not surprised. Surprise, surprise. Look at Kitty Scott Claus. She is one of the few that are so comfortable in her own skin. Not surprised anymore that she has such a great relationship with her family and her folk are loving, you know?
Yeah. It was cute.
Crystal Versace.
Her family, which is was the same person four times.
Right? It was a little freaky. I was like, wait a minute. What the?
The little brother looks like Damien.
But you can feel that there's something disconnected there somehow.
Yeah.
And it's not shade or anything, but I'm just saying, interesting how you can see the difference between, let's say, Kitty Scott Claus's family versus Versace's family. I loved, of course, when the husbands or the partners of Ella Bidet and Crystal
Vanity.
That
was cute.
And how you can see how happy they are to see their loved ones. That's also sweet. But isn't that interesting how with some they show their families and with others they I guess if you have a partner, they'll show your partner. If you don't have a partner, they show your family or friends.
I wonder. I mean, I'm who knows. I'm sure they want a variety of tear jerking moments, and they're like, "Who's gonna make them fucking cry and break down?"
Talk about tear jerking moments. Can I just quickly give a shout out to Drag Race Italia?
Baby? Oh my god, I haven't seen the episode yet, but you're telling us we have to watch it.
From the first episode, I was like crying. I was like, "You can't do this to me." No, it was probably my favorite. It becoming my absolute favorite Drag Race season ever of all time. Italian.
Wow.
It might.
Should we cover it on the pod? The
first episode. And I say, like, the contestants are such a breath of fresh air. They're all very real and honest to the point that it can get uncomfortable. But then they're so honest that when they're passionate and feeling like you feel everything they're expressing. And like you said earlier, like in Italy, it's not easy to grow up there. Like, you have to be strong. You have to have thick skin. You have to be able to survive. You can see that in those screens. It's like, they had to go through so much to get to where they're at now, to be able to shine their light. And it's really satisfying to see that.
I'm going to watch it. We might even have to cover it. We might have to include it in our pod coverage, but we'll let the listeners decide. We'll throw a little vote out their way, but hopefully we'll be able to do that. And then we have this lip sync. The lip sync's a gag. I loved it. I would have loved to have seen a top four. I get it.
I'm surprised that Vanity Milan really put up a bigger fight. I wouldn't be surprised if RuPaul then decided, okay, all four of you are going to go to the finale.
Yeah. You know what I have to say, and this is not shade, but one thing I did notice just seeing them next to each other, I couldn't help but notice the nicer wig on Crystal slinging back and forth next to Vanity's less nice hair. And I was like, it's just like, I noticed that detail and I was like, fuck, yeah. Fuck. It's like hard to see the human hair slinging next to the not so human hair. And trust, and I am, and look, and I am a cheap queen saying this. I am not a top dollar queen.
I mean, why do drag queens wear wigs? There is a reason, right? So yeah. Of course, yeah, that is a part of it.
It's a part of it,
and it's always like a part of it. What you end up dressing up in the, on the runway before a lip sync, it's like, oh my god, how are you gonna fucking lip sync for your life now? You know, and then you see them like start to rip off some shit and whatnot. Yeah, that's always like interesting when Victoria, was it Veronica? Victoria, the Veronica Green.
Well, what, oh, when she was wearing her butterfly,
yeah, it was like
dead butterfly really, was, thing.
Yeah, and it was just so much, and I was like, yeah. Oh boy, that really was not the right time for you to sync with this outfit.
And sometimes they will excuse a girl because they know damn well she cannot lip sync in it. Sometimes they give people grace, like they've done it before, like when Asia O'Hara fucked up in season 10, but she was wearing a merman mask.
Oh right, yes.
And then they're like, okay, you're safe.
Cool merman mask, though. That was really
it cool. Was, but I think they were like, we know damn well she cannot lip sync in that. Let's just make her safe. Let's just get her out of here.
Because she probably didn't even have makeup on.
She didn't even have makeup on underneath.
That's what.
Yeah. In fact, she had the creepy little Charlie Chaplin mustache. Anyway, because
right. What's her name? You look like Linda Evangelista. You're so beautiful.
Aja, we talking about Aja or Valentina? Valentina?
Valentina. Like, I'd like to keep it on, please. Well, oh, we know why she wanted to keep it on, because she didn't have no fucking lipstick on.
No, she didn't. Fucking Valentina. Yeah. That moment is still, that is one of the best moments in Drag Race history.
They still use it till now on other RuPaul Drag Race shows. Right now, recently, I'd like to keep it on, please. Someone said it in one of the challenges. I forgot which.
Oh, they just did it on Bra Wars. It will be.
That's true. Bra Wars. Yes, that's what I want. Yeah.
They will do it forever. It's also such a gag because it was literally, you could obviously tell that Rue was like, I want you to stay. Can you please lip sync so we can keep you?
Right.
And she couldn't do it.
I mean, that was the reason why she wanted to keep it on, not having makeup.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Kaz, I love you. I've taken too much of your time. And
no, not at all, honey. I love you. I love what you're doing.
I appreciate you.
Thank you for asking me to be on, like to invite me on your podcast. I'm a big RuPaul Drag Race fan, so.
Clearly, and I love your passion for it. It means the world to me.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I mean, the show means the world to me and RuPaul means the world to me. And I'm excited.
I want to see you on that judge panel, girl.
Me too. I mean, what the fuck are they waiting for?
Come on, TikTok, baby.
I mean,
it'll happen.
Kissing a fucking black man like RuPaul. What the fuck? What more do you need from me?
It's going to happen. I see it now. I see it happening. We're putting it on the universe and it makes sense to me. I think it's going to happen.
Then you're going to have to invite me again to the podcast once I do that.
Any day. You're welcome any day.
No, they gotta spill the tea all about Rue.
Oh my God. Gush.
Telling her all these amazing things and she's like, nothing matters unless the camera's on.
Oh my God. I'm gagging.
You know, if she says that to me, I'm like, my God. Bitch, what?
You're going to say, sit your ass down and shut the fuck up, bitch.
Bitch, nothing matters unless I'm getting paid for this.
Oh my God. And then she's going to say, I can't wait till I send you home. I can't wait till I send you home.
Nothing but love and respect for her. I really do. I really do. And I know she was under a lot of heat because of a lot of things, but I'm glad that we have trans women part of the show. Mm-hmm. I think it's perfect. It's great.
I'm really excited by this, and I'm excited that the show is just going to be more and more and more and more and more inclusive of all kinds of drag expressions. I think it's a bright future for queerness.
Well, yes, thanks to Rue, because one of my favorite things about RuPaul Drag Race is whenever the queens or the contestants share parts of their lives or journey growing up, i.e., for instance, with the dots.
Dusty Ray Bottoms?
Yeah, Dusty Ray Bottoms, what she was talking about. Wasn't it?
It was shocking. Was she talking about conversion therapy? Yeah.
Like, I love those moments because then we're reminded that, yes, guess what? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been going through a lot. And to give a chance for these queens to give them a voice so they can actually speak their truth in that sort of environment is above and beyond. I mean, just think of it. Like, how many people across the globe now are watching Drag Race, and they're actually now hearing the stories about all these queer boys, what they have to go through. That's, I'm like, hell yeah, RuPaul, bow down.
You got to bow down. It is an incredibly stunning moment in queer excellence. And yeah, it's nice that we get to share those stories. And it's wild that we all have those stories where you're just like, sometimes you almost forget how much you've been through because we're just surviving and trying to be our best. And we're like, oh yeah, well,
We're in a much better place.
We're in a great place.
But we forget, thanks to We're Here, that show on HBO with
Love,
Shangela, Eureka, and Bob the Drag Queen. Love that show. But then the Bible Belt. Holy fuck. I'm like,
that fucking Selma episode, like, tore me up.
Yeah.
I mean, every episode.
But that show is a wonderful example of the fact that, yeah, we live in America, the land of the free, you know, where everyone is equal between quotes.
Girl.
Right? Yeah, but then you realize that there's a lot of gay people, queer people in this country who are really struggling. It's really fucked up how much they're struggling. And a show like We're Here shows you that, and also Drag Race shows you that. But We're Here also, I like the angle they go with it. It's different, you know. It's really more about putting the spotlight on these queer people who are otherwise not seen, invisible, basically.
Right, and because today is... We're recording on Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Oh, yay.
Yes. Or, you know, we are remembering all the people we lose, unfortunately, because to put it kindly, it's a fucking struggle to be queer and to be trans in particular. It is incredibly life-threatening to try to be your authentic self.
Well, I mean, Stonewall, had it not been for trans people, right?
Like, we wouldn't have had that moment.
Probably.
We wouldn't have had that liberty.
Yeah. Probably not. And I think, totally. Everything you said, and trans people, finally, thank God, finally they're being visible the way that they should have been way back. Mm-hmm. I guess we had to do it this way to get to the trans people and then the non-binary and all of that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it had to happen this way for it to make sense. Because initially I was like, well, why were trans people not visible even in the queer community before? Now they're actually visible way than ever before. Interesting.
I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I will say, I think quite simply, it's as queer people, we are seeking from validation from majority culture.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I think even as early as the 2000s or 90s, people were like, I'm trying to prove to you, straight majority culture, that I am one of the approachable ones. I am one of the acceptable ones. And that's our own homophobia, like, fighting us. And sometimes making it easier to just seek acceptance than to actually open the door for all our queer sisters, brothers, and siblings.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unlike that RuPaul was under the, like, heat because of the fact that, oh, well, Drag Race is for boys who dress up like women. Once you become a trans woman, then that makes you not a part of that. But then she learned or realized, RuPaul realized, no, that's actually not true because trans women were boys and they became women. So you can't deny that as part of their reality, the truth, either.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love that just like everyone under the queer umbrella is just like getting to express themselves and participate in drag. I think that's really important. And honestly, I don't even know. I personally don't even think you have to be a traditional... here for people who aren't queer doing drag, personally.
Isn't season 2 of UK, didn't they have a real woman compete?
You mean earlier this season, we had our...
Oh, was it?
Earlier this season, we had Victoria.
Oh, and she hurt her knee.
Yes.
Oh, it was this season. Oh my God. Jesus, time flies. Wow.
Well, when the drag race slaps you in the face like so many cocks at an orgy, I mean, it can be hard to keep up with.
The biggest orgy was with two other guys.
Oh, go on.
That's it. Three. So a threesome. Never had more than two.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. That's
only a threesome. Funny, oh man, crazy story. Okay. If you enjoyed this, please follow us at Drag Her Podcast. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We need them. We really need them. We've had some very suspicious, not so great reviews lately. Some with the title Reverse Racism, which if you are a person, you know that reverse racism is a very coded racist thing to put in. So please show us some love. Give us some 5 stars on the Apple Podcasts. And Haz, where can we support you besides watching Eternals? That's fucking Marvel's Eternals in theaters everywhere.
My Instagram is verified. It's Haz.Slayman. And my Twitter is also verified Haz Slayman. That's it. I'm not on Facebook.
Work. Okay, yeah, and follow for the thirsts, the snacks, and the traps. You'll be happy you did. Haz, I adore you. Thank you for coming and chatting with me like a sister today. You are the best.
Likewise, my love. Likewise, and all the best to you. And yeah, I love it. I love the show, and I love talking about Drag Race, and everything that you discussed on the show was great. So thank you for having me.
You're amazing. Thank you for coming, and we'll work together in the future one of these days. I can't wait.
Well, we do need to continue our conversation about that show. I love
it. Shake, click. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
I think work. Nothing there. Yeah.
Thanks,
I'm intrigued.
Girl.
It's hard to be intrigued nowadays. So good on you for intriguing.
Good. I live. Okay. Till next time. Bye, bitches.
Yalla, bye, habibi.
That was a HeadGum Original.